Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Meet Miss Evelyn. She's been eating Tommy's hot dog salad for years. In fact, she's the one who invented it.
Well, my daddy was a coal miner way back when, and he used to tell me, he'd say, Evelyn, darling, I want something that'll last me from lunchtime all the way to breakfast time because your mom is cooking so bad. So one morning I woke up and I made daddy some famous hot dog salad that I'd learned how to make back in high school. And he said, well, daddy, darling, what's this? And I said, well, daddy, it's Evelyn's hot dog salad. He said, Evelyn, nobody wants nothing named after a fat girl. That just sounds awful. Evelyn's hot dog salad. I said, well, daddy, we'll call it Tommy's hot dog salad, named after him, Tommy. And it just caught on. You know, people just said, what's that? It's just so good. And I said, well, it's Tommy's hot dog salad.
Try a fresh hot bowl of Tommy's hot dog salad tonight. It's available in two flavors, El Tommy Tom Tom Fiesta and our traditional Tommy's Choice, both made with pure 100% hot dog meat. Try a bowl today, and you'll be saying,
it's just so good.
This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
High G's and high octane. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off. Take off.
Good evening, everybody. This is Zane Adams here on Warbird Radio, ready for the Wix Warbird Weekly Show, February 2nd, 2011, Groundhog Day. And if you are confused and think this is a rematch of last week, it's not. Our old buddy Ryan Kehoe is here with us tonight.
Hi, everybody.
You've been slacking long enough, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I've been. This is like Gobbler's Knob pulling Funksatani Phil out of the woodwork, man. You're here. Tell us your prediction.
I saw my shadow in three places today. So I think that means that technically the Northeast and everybody else, you've got at least seven more months of winter to go. So
thank you. And beautiful 20 degrees here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and Super Bowl headquarters and iced over. And I've only worked a half a day in the last 2 days. So woohoo.
Wait, what's changed?
Yeah. I hope the boss isn't listening. But yeah.
You know, I believe that the reason why it has gotten so cold is because – you know, the way that the NFL predictions all went and stuff, you got two cold weather teams that are coming down to Dallas. So what's going to happen? You know, somebody up there in the sky is going, we've got to make it so it's like where they're from. So they brought a little bit of Green Bay and a little bit of Pittsburgh down into Dallas. And all along the way, it kind of spilled over on the interstate. And that's why Chicago's just absolutely.
Yeah. Blessed. And both teams are practicing inside. Yeah,
exactly. So. Exactly. And of course, the Chicago people, if they didn't suffer so much through the crushing upset of the Bears, had to, you know, endure most of the great snowpocalypse of 2011, as they will know it in the history books when they find our frozen bodies strewn across this great nation. So,
oh, man, yeah, it's been wild.
It has been. It has. Well, it's good to be back. I definitely missed hanging around with you guys on the radio and missed hearing from everybody. But I am back, and my voice is almost back. It, it, got delayed a little bit, and it's still waiting for its bags over in the terminal, basically. But I'm almost back to 100%. I'll be as annoying as possible for next week's show. So
right.
Coming, and next week's show will be coming to you from Savannah, Georgia. I'll be out there in the great southern part, and bring you a little bit of south back into the show again here. So I can't wait to do that and see how it all works. So.
Well, cool. You'll be on time, according to Matt, though. You won't be 2 or 3 hours behind.
So. Exactly. I'll be on everybody else's normal time. So.
Well, cool. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods, or what have you garnered in your last 2 weeks?
Well, I've definitely been laying a little bit low. I've had to relocate. We just moved to a new house and have been setting up my Warbird Me room.
You got a man cave.
I've got a man cave finally. And I've always had one, but I always called it an office. Now I'm officially going to be calling it, that's my man cave. And I've started hanging up pictures, and I signed my signed pictures of all the different veterans that I've met, and some of the nice stuff along the way, and my big huge Matt Jolly tribute poster with the appropriate scented candles underneath. So
okay, cool.
Not to freak anybody out, of course. So. No, it's going pretty well out here. Warbird wise, it's actually been kind of cool. Last couple of weeks here, have seen some noted airplanes flying over. Saw a Sentimental Journey doing a couple of laps around the valley a couple of weeks ago. Just after last week's or the last show that I was on, and now she's out at Palm Springs Air Museum and is giving rides and out there. And I say that they're probably better off out there because it's 36 degrees here in Phoenix today, so they're better off out there. And then, of course, we had the memorial ceremony for noted Warbird restorer and family that was involved with working Warbirds for many, many years, the Packard family, second generation. Eddie Packard passed away a couple of weeks ago, and Eddie is a good friend of most of the Warbird community out here, and had a very, very nice an event over at the CAF hangar over in Mesa, honoring him. And they had a missing man formation with several T-6s and the TBM Avenger that he had been working on for the last couple of years. So that was a good way to honor his memory and by airplanes that obviously he worked on for many, many years. But he and his family
lost to the community.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, if you want to look at the impact that the Packards have had on the entire Warbird community, all you have to do is look at any of the B-17s that are flying these days, because 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to see a Packard or an airplane that came from Globe Air from the famous 1985 auction. Yankee Lady, Fuddy Duddy, the Boeing B, I believe, the Museum of Flight Airplane. Mm-hmm. They all came from the Great Globe Air auction. So, that family took care of those airplanes for many, many years. Was heavily involved in firefighting for many, many years using World War II livery aircraft. So, a big blow to the area, but at least people have were very, very gracious and really, really respected him. And of course his son Billy is carrying on the tradition and knows a lot about Warbirds, so at least that's gonna his memory will live on, so that's a good thing. With every little loss, we get, new rebirths and stuff. And, of course, we're seeing actually a lot of activity coming from the West Coast, actually, of some airplanes that have moved into the restoration shops and are going to be probably seeing air under their wings fairly soon here. So that was I don't know if you've heard about the F7F Tiger Cat that recently relocated from its longtime home in Thermal, California, and has shown up at the on the ramp at Chino and will be undergoing rebuild with Fighter Rebuilders, thus putting yet another F7F Tiger Cat into the air again.
Yeah, that's exciting news.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one of the sexiest World War II Korean War vintage airplanes that I can think of. So, I mean, can't wait to see that happens. And, of course, with the folks, with Steve Hinton and the folks out there at Fighter Rebuilders, you know it's going to come out quality. So that's something to look forward to. And a little exclusive here. Heard an interesting thing today coming from El Paso, Texas, that the David Tokoff F-100 Super Sabre, the Hun, two-seater that had been stored down there for many, many years, was recently sold and has moved out of his hangar and into a private hangar down there. And rumor has it is that it will be going to a paint shop and getting basically back into shape again, and we'll be looking at operations in 2011 air show season under the care of a certain organization that is pretty well acquainted with jet aircraft and amongst other aircraft. So we will we'll see for the official announcement coming through there. But
that's a juicy little tidbit there, Ryan. Yeah.
Exactly. So
that is a two-seater airplane, isn't it?
It is a two-seater. So it's a very, very neat airplane. Of course, you know, with the other F-100 that stole the show this year. Amongst others, at a couple of the air shows, like I believe Westfield had the F-100 up there, and that was one of the big highlights of that. And of course, it was up at I believe it was up at Thunder River, Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, for this
one. Yeah.
So having another Hun in the air is going to be, I guess, it'll double Hun. So, yes, double.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's your Hun. That's cool.
So let's hope that that transition goes smoothly, and can't wait to see photos, and of course learn even more about it. So we'll be looking over the Wix airwaves over the next couple of days as that comes along. So,
I wonder what the plan is for the paint scheme on it. It's exciting news to have another jet warbird up going to be flying, because that one's been in El Paso for a long time.
It has,
if I remember right, and I don't know that how much it's flown. In the past, 10 years or however long it's kind of been percolating out there on the horizon that, you know, that airplane's going to be around. But I don't know, ever recall it flying, but I mean, it may, but.
Yeah, it is. It's seen air under its wings, a couple of times over the last couple of years. They've usually kept it as, local flights, if anything. But it's definitely something that is, it's a fully operational airplane, which is great. They certainly kept it in running condition. Tokoff has been well known for kind of collecting odd jets of certain types. There have been a lot of carcasses and hulks of varying types of Century Series fighters that have been over near his place for many, many years. And he was actually, up until its sale to its current owner a couple of years back, was the owner of the McDonnell 220 prototype business jet that McDonnell, before it became McDonnell Douglas, was using to go up against the Lockheed Jetstar. So that's still sitting out there, but of course now that's under the care of another owner and is in non-flying condition currently. But.
Right. That's a cool airplane. It's kind of always reminded me kind of like a small B-58 Hustler or something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you want a nice civilian B-58 Hustler that a little bit smaller and you can take your friends with, well, you can go up in that. So.
Yeah.
So we might be seeing some interesting stuff coming. Of course, a lot of movement with the Suplata collection. The F-84F, I believe it is, out of Suplata's collection was moved recently to the MAPS Air Museum. That's a good thing. So airplanes are going into good homes, and that's a great thing to see over the wintertime season, because you never know what the summertime will bring. So hopefully these will jump into the air show scene. Of course, not the F-84, but the rest of the airplanes, hopefully we'll see those up in the air soon. I mean, I don't think the F-7F Tiger Cat that was over at Thermal, that was recently restored more or less, and just needed some TLC basically to get it back in fully operating condition. So I don't expect that'll be a very long-term project, but who knows? You never know once you get into an airplane like that. So
you get into there and open up a panel and everything looks good, but then you you get too deep into them, and sometimes there's a little rash, a little love needs to be put taken care of. So let's hope that goes well, and it can be on the scene this year. You know, they had, what, three Tiger Cats out to Reno last year. So,
oh, yeah.
So, you know, fourth would be something else to see.
Might give the P-38s a little bit of run for their money. Let's just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always amazing to me how few people, I mean, really, you know, it didn't get the fame and fortune, you know, it didn't fly the whole war and, you know, and it was only in the Pacific and that kind of thing. But, you know, that's a heck of an airplane, and it doesn't get its due, I think, you know, on the market out there. You know, there's not a whole lot of people really know about the airplane.
Yeah.
To have four of them up and flying is just amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, and some of those were fire bombers too. So, you know, there once again, we have to thank the fire bomber world for saving some of these old airplanes.
Yeah. In fact, actually, you know, speaking with a couple of guys that flew them as fire bombers, they said it was a fantastic air attack airplane. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, it almost earned its keep more in that role in some cases than it did in wartime use. So I thought that, you know, that was a pretty good testament to an airplane that, you know, was a warbird that kind of was a, you know, a solution for a problem that kind of went away after the end of World War II, but, you know, continues soldiering on. So, you know, hopefully it will continue to see more of these airplanes going out there. And of course, they've commanded pretty good, dollar value on the market itself. So, you know, who
sure.
knows?
But
I invite everyone to give us a call if you want to join in on the conversation. It is 17 minutes after the hour here on Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on the 2nd of February. So if you're listening to us on Groundhog Day, you're listening to us live. Give us a call here, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. Even if you want to harass me and tell me what a lazy bum I am for not being around the last couple of weeks, I invite you to do so. I'm here. Yeah, I'll give you guys one show. You can pummel me with that. So
there you go. Well, I had a little bit of news here, local Warbird movement. I'd not seen the airplane before, but I was over by Addison Airport the other day and saw at the Cavanaugh Museum was a Grumman Albatross sitting there on the Cavanaugh ramp. And of course, I took a picture of it and came back. And you know, you look up the N number, and it belongs to the Cavanaughs. Apparently, Cavanaugh's had it since last fall, and nobody. I posted a little question about it on the Wix board, and hadn't had any answer yet. But I just wondered if anybody out there knows what's Cavanaugh's plans for that Albatross. It's a beautiful looking airplane. Looks like it's a good to go flyer. It's in nice white paint. You know, I don't know if it's seaworthy or not, but it's beautiful airplane there. And so anybody knows about that, I'd love to know what the plans are for it. But it's a great looking airplane.
Oh yeah, I mean, and you talk about, you know, true air yacht, practical airplane. Go out and, you know, bring 20 of your friends and go out and land on a lake and have a little bit of fun. That's a great warbird to do it in.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah, it'd be a great fishing boat for sure.
Always going back to the hunting and fishing, aren't you, Zane?
Well, you know, I'm not much of a hunter and fisher, but I sure like being outside and like the idea of it anyway.
Oh, that's true. You just want to sit up on top of the wing and cat, uh-huh, and you know, take yeah. the pictures and, you know, say, hey, look at me. I'm fishing off an albatross.
Yeah, I'd have to be careful because everybody that knows me knows that it takes way too much beer to keep me interested in fishing. So,
as long as you're not the pilot.
Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, it's a beautiful bird. I'd like to know what the plans are. If anybody out there knows, you know, give us a call.
That would be very, very interesting. So we're looking for information on the on that airplane and any others that you guys have got you know, in your targets out there. We know that there are folks that have been well, for those of you that are still trapped inside your homes and stuff, you probably haven't, you know, been looking at much in the way of warbirds. But for those of you who are out and about in the more decent climes that we're accustomed to here and have been seeing you know, some projects being built in the local hangar, give us a call. We'd love to know a little bit more about it. One airplane that kind of, you know, came across my radar screen a little earlier today that I had never heard of, and it was strange because it was just kind of it just kind of came at me, and I I've never heard of this thing, and that's a rare thing for me. But the there's a RPT, a Waco RPT that's currently for sale. Now, that's Romeo Papa Tango. And considering my first initials are RP, I would love one of these things, and I've never heard of it before. It's a 1940 Waco, but it's a monoplane. It's not a biplane like we've normally seen. And evidently, this airplane was built in 1940 to compete for a U.S. Army Air Corps aerobatic training contract. And only one of them has survived, and it's basically been in the collection of Dean Wally Mitchell since 1977, and the airplane is being released for sale for actually a decent $64,000.
Wow.
And it kind of looks like, for those of you that are, you know, big into trainers and stuff, it kind of looks like a PT-22 with a radial engine on the front of it, or actually it's a Kenner engine on the front, so it's got the kind of five cylinder PT-19 kind of look to it, but it's a, you know, beautiful looking airplane, and found that on globalair.com today, and it's a I think it's a pretty sharp airplane, and to have a one of a kind, you know, could have, should have, would have been a Warbird type of airplane. I think that's a neat one to find. So.
That's very interesting. I was looking it up on Aerofiles here, and they've got it in here. Got a picture of it from the 78 Oshkosh, I believe. And it says here, it says the project was halted when the UPF-7 came in, and there's a big order for that that Waco got. And it said it was stored until it was sold in 1962. So originally had a Warner Scarab motor on it, 125 horse, and they put 160 horse Kenner on there and a canopy. So I don't know if it had the canopy on it originally, the way it reads here on Aerofiles, but that's interesting.
Never
heard of that either. Of course, you know, when you start talking about Wacos, you know, you've got PBFs and QCFs and PSO and, you know, Echo, I don't, you know.
It's definitely a garble of a bunch of letters and number, not so many numbers, any, you know, unless they had several models of the same type.
Right.
But
And you know, and then there's some real strange Waco people out there that know exactly what all that means. And I've never been one of those. But,
I wouldn't call
that's an interesting airplane. So
I wouldn't necessarily call them strange.
I don't know. I've met a few of those.
Eccentric. I think the N3N crowd is a little bit more eccentric myself. But
this is true. This is true. I think, you know, there's our call out to Jeff for the day.
Yes, the phone lines are open, Jeff, if you want to give us a call. But again, if you want to anybody can give us a call tonight, 478-787-4768, and pick up and you know, join in the conversation with Zane and myself, and it'll be great to talk with you and stuff. So there's a little other little tidbit of news in having, you know, Wixer sightings around and stuff, had the opportunity to see for the first time. I've never met him in person before, but Wix member and noted aviation author Scott Thompson stopped by here today, flying for his daytime job with a certain government organization that flies around, and he let me know that his book Final Cut, the post-war B-17 Flying Fortress, The Survivors, pretty, you know, well-known book cataloging the deposition of all the flying fortresses that are still out there flying or on display around the United States and around the world for that matter. He's revising it. We'll be coming out with a new edition sometime this spring. So he's currently in the process of doing that. So it was nice to see him and nice to hear about a great book coming out. I've got the second edition here right in front of me, actually, and looking forward to getting the next one, because, you know, certainly since the last time, a lot of B-17s have done some transactions.
Things have changed, moved in that area. That's, and that is the definitive book on post-war B-17 stuff, and it's just an amazing collection. He's done a lot of work on that, so you need to get him on the show, Ryan.
Yeah, well, he said that he would just absolutely love to join us. The technology didn't work necessarily to have him on tonight, but we'll get him on a future show here, and sure. A lot of people, I'm sure, are interested in asking him questions about the deposition of certain types of B-17s or what he'd heard and stuff. And God, he's just a fountain of knowledge when it comes to the bomber crowd. That and B-25s are his two focuses, and Aero Vintage Books is his company has been publishing stories about these airplanes for many, many years. So looking forward to having him on the show at some point. So that'd be
cool. And speaking of B-25s, I just a little thing came across the Wix board that from apparently been said in the Air Force magazine that they're going to have a special reunion for Doolittle Raiders again this year. Richard Cole, Thomas Griffin, and David Thatcher, three of the five surviving Doolittle Raiders, are scheduled together in late March at Punta Gorda, Florida, at the Florida International Air Show. So, and what's interesting about that, I mean, there's only five of these guys left. We've lost two here recently, but this show, they're going to have the Chinese ambassador to the United States is bringing some sort of special Chinese delegation to meet these guys. And apparently it said this would be the first time that the Doolittle Raiders have met with a Chinese delegation since 1942. So it sounds like some interesting piece of news there. And
I
hope those guys make it to that reunion. And another gathering of those guys. It's an interesting piece of news there. It just came out. So
well, I'm glad that people are keeping the keeping the Doolittles in or the Doolittle Raiders in mind. I know a lot of people started saying after last year's event, oh, this is going to be the last one. This is going to be the last one. But like Jimmy Doolittle said, not until there are two will they break out the bottle of cognac and toast to the others that had passed before them. So I'm glad to hear that they're going to continue it on as much as they possibly can, because certainly these heroes are a valuable part of our history, and for getting them out in the public's view and be able to have people ask questions, meet them in person and stuff, it literally is like meeting a part of real true American World War II history. So I'm glad they're keeping it going. So
So
cheers to the Florida International Air Show for doing that.
Well, it'd be a nice warm spot for them old guys as well.
So. Exactly. Yeah, there's very few of those warm spots this week, though.
I had cold water didn't want to run in the kitchen sink this morning, so I had to break out the hair dryer and warm up the pipes.
Oh, boy.
It's been cold. Yeah. Didn't break anything, though. So. Jeez. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah.
Well, certainly, that's one of the things that I always worry about with these kind of big, huge storms is, I always worry about the warbirds out there on the poles that are still sitting out there. And, especially when you get ice involved. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, the Northeast has seen so much ice that, that gives us such a huge burden on, the wings and control surfaces and, every little piece of airplanes that are sitting outside. So let's hope that our spinoff Warbird Rescue talks a little bit about that and can get people motivated to get help get those airplanes saved or at least get them in conditions so that they don't have to suffer through another winter time outside, and they can potentially be inside and being on display for people to see, or heck, sure, even flying up in the air again. So who knows?
Yeah. And speaking of that, there's another little – this is what's great about – and if you guys are listening on the show today, if you're not on the Wix, the Warbird Information Exchange Forum, you know, all this news things comes across here. This is a little thing, a little tidbit today. The PV2 Harpoon hot stuff has been maintained outside on a ramp for years, and they just recently, just this week, apparently got her in a hangar up there in snow weather. So it's in Greenwood, off of I-65 up there in the North Country. So it's great to know she's inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one thing I always said. That airplane needs to be inside for them to work, and I bet it couldn't have come at a better time for them, quite frankly. So that's that's fantastic news. Well, I'm glad that IndieGen and everybody are going to be able to work on it with a little bit of heat, maybe, or at least protection from the elements this year.
It's much. They'll be much happier, huh?
I'm sure.
I know what it's like to try to work on a warbird outside.
And you're missing the tips of your fingers because of it, right?
Yeah, I've got scars and everything else. Yeah, so I'm glad those guys got a room inside. That's great.
Fantastic. Well, the old bird deserved it. So, sure. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, folks, and we'll be back with you here in about 2 minutes. You're listening to Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio, or maybe not.
I wonder if Ryan or if Matt is Matt there?
Yeah, I'm here. But I was thinking though, why do you want to take a commercial break? No, I'm just kidding. It's time for some Tom's hot dog salad.
Yeah, I was gonna say I need some of that again.
Yeah, welcome back, guys. Welcome back. By the way, just testing you there. Right. Say it
I
again.
We were gonna have to prattle along.
No.
All right, folks. About 2 minutes. You're listening to Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at WarbirdRescue.com.
That's WarbirdRescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Meet Miss Evelyn. She's been eating Tommy's hot dog salad for years. In fact, she's the one who invented it.
Well, my daddy was a coal miner way back when, and he used to tell me, he'd say, Evelyn, darling, I want something that'll last me from lunchtime all the way to breakfast time because your mom is cooking so bad. So one morning I woke up and I made daddy some famous hot dog salad that I'd learned how to make back in high school. And he said, well, daddy, darling, what's this? And I said, well, daddy, it's Evelyn's hot dog salad. He said, Evelyn, nobody wants nothing named after a fat girl. That just sounds awful. Evelyn's hot dog salad. I said, well, Daddy, we'll call it Tommy's hot dog salad, named after him, Tommy. And it just caught on. You know, people just said, what's that? It's just so good. And I said, well, it's Tommy's hot dog salad.
Try a fresh hot bowl of Tommy's hot dog salad tonight. It's available in two flavors, El Tommy Tom Tom Fiesta and our traditional Tommy's Choice, both made with pure 100% hot dog meat. Try a bowl today, and you'll be saying,
it's just so good.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us to the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon, we have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Welcome back, folks, to Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on February 2nd, Groundhog Day. And you're listening to us live here. myself, Ryan Keough, and Zane Adams from Wix, the Warbird Information Exchange website, forum, grandiose worldwide phenomenon that we're all familiar with at warbirdinformationexchange.org. So,
wow.
Now, Zane, you'll have to take over for a second. I'm just have me some of the, Evelyn was nice enough to send over some of this wonderful hot dog salad.
You have the Fiesta flavor or the original?
I'm having the original because, my idea was that got to have the original in order to be able to just really get the it's just so good flavor to it and stuff. And I gotta admit that, whatever they're doing here, the phosphates,
so good,
the phosphates really just pop. It's great. I love it, Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And the little pieces of bun, it just works just so well. So
I don't know how they keep them from getting so soggy.
Well, I think that's the special southern love that comes.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Keeps it from getting so soggy, I think so. but it's just fantastic, folks. So make sure and have some Tommy's hot dog salad when you get a chance.
I had to jump in here. I know that they're saying is it's just so good. But Mike Chilson said it best the other day. He said, it comes in a can, but it tastes like it's straight from the chef. I think that's the truth. So it looks a little nasty.
That's Mike.
It looks a little nasty, but it goes down nicely.
Well, you know.
Tastes even better when it comes back up, but
It's not recommended for air show routines,
No. Tommy's hot dog salad. Thanks to the folks at Tommy's, though. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate the gift basket. So,
speaking of hot dogs, do you know I don't know, since you were gone for a couple of weeks and out, seemingly out of the loop, at least to us here on the air, but I guess you heard, and this is Warbird news here, the N number N29UB? You know that one?
I don't. Yes.
Is that
something of a Russian airplane? I think.
Yeah. I think Matt had somebody talking about it here on the show this
crazy,
week too.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Did they tell you what the per minute fuel cost on that thing was?
Well, it's around 20 something thousand, but 160 plus gallons. I think a minute. Is that what it is? Is that right?
That would sound about right.
In full burner. But
of course, they say it in pounds, so it makes it really impressive.
Right. Of course.
You also have to hire a staff of Ukrainian MiG technicians to come over and work on it too. So that
plus you have to supply them with an adequate amount of vodka too.
I'm sure of it. But crazy stuff though. And John Sessions, a great guy from Historic Flight. But what a cool thing though.
Yeah. Well, the amount of stuff that's been happening up there with his collection and with the various organizations that have been infiltrating Payne Field up there, I got to say that I got to make a trip up there sometime in the next year because, by the time I get up there, who knows? They might have a TU-95 bear sitting at the end of the runway or something like that.
Ooh,
who knows?
But, ooh, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that would be. Ooh.
Yeah.
Get those suckers running. Ooh, boy. But kudos to him and his team. I mean, they've been doing, fantastic work keeping some really, really neat airplanes in the air and keeping them operating too at the same time. And of course, I guess the other thing is that they're kind of switching what happened in the 1980s a little bit, where we saw a lot of warbirds moving over across the pond to England. He's been helping get some of those airplanes back over here.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Sure.
With the B-25 Grumpy coming over, of course, it was over here in the States for a little while, but the 29 obviously is now an operating warbird, so that's great. So,
I have a shameless plug for the show tomorrow morning. This is a friend of mine who's coming on tomorrow, a real mentor and someone who has flown. And I say this with the utmost respect, but has flown with some really shady operations down in Corrosion Corner back in Miami. And he worked his way up to an airline captain with a major airline, flew 737s and some other stuff, and retired. But Pete Fusco is coming on the program tomorrow to talk about his book, Moondogs Academy of the Air and Other Disasters. which is absolutely the funniest aviation book I've ever read. And it's all true. That's the best part of it. And I say this in complete confidence. I've actually met a couple of folks from the book. I have to say that when you read this book, you will read it in one sitting. It's just that funny and absolutely a must-have for everybody.
Yeah, but anybody that learns to fly from an ex-biker named Moondog's got to have some cool stories.
I mean, the story about the monkey, and I was trying to find it. I have a copy of the book. I read this a number of years ago, but I have it here. And Pete's redone it. We were talking the other day. I said, Pete, you know, would you consider coming on the program? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to do this. I'm just come on the show. I said, and talk to some of these guys about it. Because it is truly just a wonderful, wonderful book. And he's flown a lot of C-46s and some great, I mean, just great stories. But the monkey story is the skydiving monkey story has to be the all-time greatest, and I can't find it. I'll have to find it before tomorrow morning. We'll have Pete tell the story, but I'm telling you, if you want to have a fun morning tomorrow, you have to listen to the show, because I guarantee you Pete is a piano player too. I didn't know this about him until he sat down one day in the bar that I used to work at. I just started playing the piano, and he's a real virtuoso, but he's an amazing aircraft restorer and woodworker, model builder. Just an all-around genius when it comes to airplanes. So I'm really honored to have him on tomorrow. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's going to be some good stuff. So if you live in the Houston, Texas area and you worked for a big airline that used to be based out of there, then you probably know Pete. And you'll probably want to tune in because he's quite the legend. But Pete Fusco tomorrow morning on the show.
Yeah, so, if anybody's interested, his books on Amazon, you could buy it there, or you can read the first few pages of it.
Well, I'm telling you, it's one to definitely have. I for a while it was out of print, and so it's been redesigned with a new cover and all this other stuff. But I've loaned this thing to so many people, and I'm like, look, you know, you have to give this back to me. And they always do, and they always say the same thing. They say, I read it in one day. I just couldn't. It's 200 and almost 300 pages, but everybody does that. They read it and just as quickly as they get it. It's hysterical. So, it's a side splitter. I mean, it really is. It's truly a side splitting book. So you have to get it. And it's all true. That's the best part.
That's the best part.
I'll have to pick. I'm going to be putting that on my wish list.
Yeah, you need to stock that at Cutter. That would be a good one to put back in the
room. Would be a good one here to have, actually, because we get a good number of freight dogs and that kind of stuff through here.
So, well, the airline stuff's pretty funny, too. And the Cleveland Mafia stories, it's all in there. So just check it out.
Wait, Cleveland has a mafia?
Yeah, imagine that. So.
Oh. Post-industrial town. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's right there on a nice body of water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll be great. I'll have to tune in tomorrow morning for Warbird Warbird Radio Live.
Yeah, whatever that show is.
Yeah, whatever that show is.
Oh, you know. I'm not quite well yet, guys. Just
right, apparently not. Down to your head, right?
Okay. Oh boy. So,
Ryan, I wanted to ask you: what is the health of Wix, the site right now? What is the doctor say so far?
I have to give the state of the site address.
Well, I mean, we nearly had riots.
Yes.
You see what happens in Egypt when they don't get Wix.
That is true. Until they shut off the internet did they really go.
So what's the latest?
Wix is fully functional, and Wix is doing very, very well on the new server, and has been running beautifully. We've got a couple of things that we are implementing to possibly look at for taking care of some of the spam issue. But for the most part, it's running fast. It's running reliably, and we haven't had any problems. So thank you to Scott and the folks over at Website Source for helping us out on getting it back up and running. But yeah, it definitely. People will probably notice that it has a definite speed advantage over what it was before, but it's definitely better now. We just need to get people back, because I think we lost a lot of people, unfortunately, during that time, because they thought, oh my God, they banned me. But
come back.
There was a little hiccup, but you know, it's running well enough that I only had to lock one thread this last week. So you know,
I know
it's running okay.
Yeah. I have sold my reenactor gear.
I'm not buying any.
Oh, my goodness. So, of course...
we do have fun on the forum.
We definitely do. We definitely
do. We love you all.
Yeah. You're all our little children. You little piss... No, it's great. It's great, and we appreciate everybody's support out there. Keeping the site always an interesting place to come back to, and 9 out of 10 Warbird enthusiasts agree that Wix is the place. So, and 9 out of 10 of those same enthusiasts say Warbird Radio is the place when they can't log in and they want to listen to something. So,
oh yeah.
So that's we're a partner in everything here. So
Warburg's radio listenership went up at least tenfold while Wix was down. So had to have.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we've been doing really well. We had a really good month last month. A lot of folks tuned in. So yeah, good stuff. Good stuff going on.
We'll keep it going. Remember, folks, only 4 more months till the air show season starts for most of the country. So
yeah,
of course,
four more.
Yeah.
And there's a February air show in Texas.
Yeah, El Paso out there.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if the certain F-100 will be flying out there for that air show.
I don't know. It all depends. If a certain organization is ready to have it going at this point. But I think that there's going to be a good amount of shakedown for the airplane because there's going to be pilot training that's going to have to be taking place. There's going to have to be maintenance training and stuff. And the organization that we were referring to do things right and do it well from the very get-go. And so I think that they're probably going to have a certain amount of time to take care of the airplane. And I know that it's going to go in for a paint job, so it's at least going to be going away for a little bit during that, so we shall see. So but
well, there's an air show, isn't there? Air show NAS Key West has one this weekend, I think. Yeah. Has an open house.
that's a show that I would love to be at right now.
Well, and next, the weekend after that, isn't that the big show at the big centennial kickoff event at and San Diego, the Centennial of Naval Aviation, beginning of that year-long celebration. I know Sentimental Journey is supposed to be there, Trojan Horseman. You know, there's some stuff brewing up. I'm really excited about the Naval Air Shows this year to see what they're going to bring. They're supposed to have 100-something airplanes do a flyover in San Diego, and that's next weekend. That's the February 12th. So
yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, I guess I was being a little bit premature with my four months till, because I'm skewing to our demographic, which is traditionally everybody up in the Northeast and the northern parts of the United States. Although we do have some Coloradoans and that kind of thing, but we won't be seeing air shows in Colorado for at least 5 months now at this point. So
our buddy Paul Gordon was complaining that it was 11 below yesterday in Denver. So poor guy.
We had
frozen people.
Our Colorado Springs organization called us today to say that the weather was a balmy -40 wind chill, because they not only had cold, but they had wind, lots and lots of wind. it's going to be a little bit of a thawing out, I think, for most of the nation. But the anniversary of the Naval Air Force, that's going to be amazing. I saw actually a couple of days ago the first of the centennial painted airplanes that I've seen in person. I saw the King Air, which I believe is a C-12, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Yeah.
Fly through with its pre-World War II colors, with the meatball in the middle of the star and rondelle.
That is so cool.
What a handsome looking airplane that is! I tell you, if I could get it, that would. Until I saw that, I didn't like King Airs that much. As soon as I saw that, I said, I want a darn King Air, and I'm going to paint it in that color, because that it just made it look so cool. But I always liked Wildcats too, so I might be skewing myself toward it.
Gosh, I hate to digress, but I had to read this. I found the monkey story. You want to hear the monkey story? Just a quick.
Well, sure.
Please read to us, Matt.
Yeah. Okay. This is straight out of Moondogs.
You got your sweater on?
Yeah, I really do. Straight out of Moondogs Academy and Other Air Disasters. can't even. Just remember the fiasco with the monkey started about the rumor of the air show, and in fact, all of Northern Ohio knew about it. Earlier that summer, Moondog had staged an air show that featured, among other equally unforgettable acts, a monkey named Spikey. Moondog outfitted Spikey with a tiny parachute, which he tested by dropping the monkey off the hangar several times. Of course, right? And on the day of the air show, Moondog grabbed the reluctant primate and took off in the Piper Cub. He made a pass over the air show crowd and tossed an object out that looked like a monkey out of the plane. The parachute failed to open. The monkey fell onto the runway, striking the earth with a sickening squishing sound. Splud is how WW and Eyewitness remembered it. The crowd screamed in horror, and of course Moondog made a second pass. He held the frantic Spikey out by the neck of the open door of the Cub to show the crowd below what had actually fallen on the ground. It was not Spikey, but merely a monkey doll stuffed with a ripe cantaloupe. So anyway, Spikey eventually does indeed jump out of the airplane, and I'm proud to say that the parachute does indeed open. But I'm telling you, real life is so much funnier than fiction. And the smuggler of shrunken heads, it's all in there. So just you have to listen to more.
Monkey dolls with a cantaloupe.
With a cantaloupe stuffed in it, yeah, from Moondog.
What I want to know is what is Ohio's fascination with pushing animals out of airplanes at inappropriate times?
Yeah,
I mean, doesn't anybody remember the great WKRP disaster?
Yeah.
So those were turkeys. Come on. Yeah. Turkeys can fly, can't they?
They almost became our national bird, for goodness sakes. Come on.
Well, anyway, Pete will be on the bar to tell us the real stories. And yeah, it's just a story. Right. I was crying. I was reading this thing at the hangar today for a little while. Just in tears again. You know, it's been a few years since I read it. Just a hysterical, hysterical book. So got to read it. Got to read it, guys. Good one.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have to.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
have
a fun
to
show.
Amazon
that. It's
order
fun
that
show.
Thing.
Yeah, you need to order it. We're going to have it on the website here. And so we'll get like a nickel from you if you order it.
Oh, great. Cool.
Order from warbirdradio.com.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
And Zane, because my Wix my Wix paycheck hasn't come through yet. I think I might be able to spot a couple bucks from you on.
Maybe. I don't know.
I know you're better when it comes to your when it comes to your salary from Wix. So. You know.
Yeah. I
oh wait, maybe I could just I could just take my Warbird Radio salary and blow it all on hats. So. No.
Well, yeah. I was just told that. I was just told that everything is up on Amazon. So there you go.
Cool.
Good deal.
Cool.
Good deal. Well, have you guys beaten this horse enough tonight? I don't know.
I think so. I'm surprised that nobody's been out there. I mean,
you have lots of listeners tonight too.
And I even taunted Jeff. I even slipped in that little N3N thing. So what the heck, you know?
I was hoping Karen Brinkley, our O2 lady, was going to join us again. She was on here last week, and we had to cut her short because Matt had loss and everything else. So, she said she wasn't able to join us back in again tonight, but she definitely will. I owe her big time for finally coaxing her on, and she wasn't on long enough, and Matt lost power, so we had to bail on her. So, Karen, if you're out there listening, we'll get you back on for sure. But,
It sounds like a Conan episode, you know. Oh, we didn't have enough time to put on, Fab Folds 5, so we'll see him next week. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Matt Damon's been bumped yet again. So,
exactly. Yeah. All right. I'm wicked upset about that, so. Yeah. All righty, folks. Well, wherever you are in Warbird World out there, make sure to keep warm tonight. Don't go out and drive like an idiot on the roads if the roads are bad.
Yeah, don't drive like Ryan.
Yeah, don't shovel off your warbirds. They can wait. So. Yeah, we will talk to you next week here on Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Join us every week, 8 p.m. Wednesdays Eastern Time. We'll chat at you next week. Bye, guys.
Good night.